with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning to you, Merritt Island, Cocoa, Cocoa Beach, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Vieira, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, Titusville, hey, Brevard County, I'm sure I forgot, Cape Canaveral, Cocoa Beach, Canaveral Groves, Port St. John, Cocoa, Rockledge, I got to be getting close, Mims, Scottsmore, Barefoot Bay, Sebastian, wherever you are in Brevard County, we welcome you today. And I'm going to start the day's program off a little bit different today. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, I love you. Happy birthday to you. Got a very special someone in my life today that is their birthday. And so you all can be thankful I don't sing happy birthday every day after that rendition. So it is a wonderful day. We are glad that you have tuned into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And we are looking forward to talking about the Word of God. One of these truths that we're going to share about today, we're going to go back and revisit it because we kind of did a little bit of a grouping here together of some of these truths that we're looking at. How does the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth? There is a connection between truth and love. So there would also be a disconnect if you say that you love someone and yet you're lying to them. There's a disconnect there. I was having a phone call with someone not too long ago, and I was describing a situation that I went through in my life probably 15 plus years ago, and I said the problem was there was a disconnect between expectation and reality, and that led to discouragement. And so we need to make sure that we have as few strained connections or failed connections in our life. Don't you hate it when your cell phone, you're on a call and all of a sudden it says call failed or call disconnected because there was something that went awry in the network. You didn't disconnect it. The person that you were talking to didn't disconnect it, but there was a disconnection there. So we're going to talk about that connection between truth and love today, but we want to say thank you, first of all, to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you have any issues with your air conditioning system, I'm going to leave out the heater part for this time of the year because I don't think we're going to be getting that many more cold fronts unless you like your house to be 85 degrees all the time, and then, you know, you can call him about that, but If you've got issues with your air conditioner to where it's not keeping you cool and you're losing your cool as a result of it, give Bill Andriak a call at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. He primarily operates in central Brevard County, and he'll love to fix your unit, and he'll love to talk to you about Jesus as well. 321-759-3284 for Creative AC Solution. So on Friday, we were in 1 John chapter 2, and we ended with verse number 4. But I want to take you back there today, and I want to go one verse farther, and that is into verse 5 and 6. We'll start reading at verse number 3. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth of God is not in him. a tremendous word here, verse number 5, but. That means that just because one person is in that circumstance, just because one person has made a bad decision, doesn't mean that everybody's going to be making that bad decision. So it says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he loved. So I want you to see today the connection between truth and love. Here in verse number 5 talks about whoever does keep God's word, whoever does keep God's commandments, truly the love of God. Not the love of that particular act, not discharging that one area of responsibility. We obey because of the love of God that we have. And it says, truly the love of God is perfected in him. What if we looked at obedience, not at the have-tos of life, but as actually manifesting to those around us the inclination of our heart towards God, that it would be an adequate representation of the love of God that we have. It would not just be a vocal declaration. It wouldn't simply be a attending church representation, but it would be a 100% authentic, genuine. It would truly be a manifestation of the love of God that we have. You see, too many people think of love as just an ooey-gooey feeling. Some people think it's all emotional. Some people think it's a decision. In actuality, it's both. It is both emotional and it is both decision. It is something that is required for all of us to be involved in. You know, our body, our soul, our spirit. You know, I can't tell my wife that I love her and then be completely and totally detached from her. That's not going to work. I can't tell my kids that I love them and then not want to have anything to do with them. And the same is true with our relationship with God. We've got to say, you know what? I love God. I truly love God. That means that I'm not going to hate my brother, because it's impossible to hate God and love. It's impossible to hate God whom you have not seen, or to love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother, which you have seen. There's all sorts of deception that people are involved in. And John, in this epistle that he writes, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, he's wanting to bring everything back into reality and saying, okay, this is what a believer looks like, and this is what a believer doesn't look like. And so truly the love of God is perfected. And again, it is in him. It's in him. The words that we speak are attitudes that we harbor in our heart. And so when they come out, it's because of what's inside. It's the things that are inside of us that manifest the reality. That's where the real us is. I was reading something here recently, and they were describing this particular tree, and it looked healthy on the outside until the storm came and blew it over. And that was when the internal decay that had gone on for a long, long time was manifest, because that tree should have withstood the storm. But there was something going on the inside of it, that there was a disconnect. There needs to be a true manifestation of the love of God inside of us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We talked about this on a previous broadcast. And I'm turning over there right now. And verse number 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You say, well, I've never known truth. Well, I want you to know that God wants you to receive it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. God wants you to receive the truth, and he wants you to love that truth. I don't know how you respond. You know, I remember being in a meeting one time, and I told this person, you know, that God wanted to change the way that we think. And this person said, well, I only know how to think like me. How do I change the way that I think? And that's the same thing that I say to you now, is I know that God works in my situation so that when he brings revelation of the truth, I get excited. Very, very rarely do I ever go and preach, and it's not something that I'm looking forward to, because there's something that God has shared from that passage that I want to communicate. And I tell you, when you love that truth, you're going to have an appetite for it. You're going to want to be a part of it. And the result of loving the truth is that we're going to be saved. We're going to be saved. If God says you're saved, you're saved. And so, we're a church that's not on the massive scale of some of the other churches in the area. And a number of my friends were talking about the huge numbers of people that made decisions for Christ over the Easter weekend. And I was telling someone, said, well, we didn't have, you know, the massive response. And they said this, how do you know? How do you know? And just because we don't see a person responding on the outside, let me ask you this question. Have you ever responded to God's invitation by saying a prayer while you were sitting someplace and the person next to you did not know about the prayer that you were praying at that point in time? The truth of the matter is, it's not until much later that we begin to see the manifestation of the transformation that has taken place in a person's life. But if you and I are loving the truth, we are going to be saved. So truly, the love of God should be perfected in us. We should love the truth. And back to 1 John, we're going to talk about two other aspects today. 1 John chapter 3, this time. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So, verse 16 and 17 describes that we ought to have the same mindset that Jesus had, and that we are willing to lay down everything that we have for the sake of our brother who is in need. Have you ever had, well, let me say this. I remember watching one of the late night comedians probably 20 years ago. And there was this actress that was on there that had made lots and lots of money. And she was describing a family member who was in need. And the question that she asked that night was, who's going to help that person? And I don't know if you've ever yelled at the television, you know, trying to communicate to somebody on the other side of the screen, but that night I did. And it was like, here's a novel idea. You have millions and millions of dollars. Why don't you help the person that you're related to that you know it's a legitimate need? We can't distance ourselves and detach the things that God has made us stewards over. We cannot detach ourselves from the fact that we may have a brother in need. This indicates relationship, okay? This concept here that it says, and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him. And the question is, where is the manifestation of the love of God that is supposed to be in him? So this doesn't mean that you and I are going to be able to help every person that is in need. But if I can help the people that I'm in relationship with, when they have a legitimate need in their life, and sometimes that is not just a handout, but it is an empowerment so that they get out of that situation and never fall back into it again. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't have to die on the cross every single day for us? And he wants to empower us to live a life completely and distinctly different from what it was before Christ. That so many times we can empower a person to come up. Now, at Merit Assembly of God, if there's a person in the congregation and they have a very real need, we have been known to help that person sacrificially. And I remember one time there was an individual. And they were walking 3 miles to school. This was a single mother, and she was walking 3 miles to school. And I became aware of that, and I approached my wife and I said, you know, what do you think about giving her this vehicle? It was an older vehicle, but it was my vehicle. It was the vehicle I was driving. It may not have been the greatest vehicle, but it was the greatest one that I had to offer. And I said, what do you think about giving her this vehicle? And she said, it's fine with me. And so I asked the lady, I said, can you afford, you know, the gas and the insurance for this vehicle? And it became a big blessing. It radically changed that person's life. It wasn't without some challenges. You know, there were some tires that went flat every once in a while and some other parts that went south on it after we had given it to her. And she eventually moved on to another vehicle, but it was something that we were willing to do. But you know what? God was moving on somebody else's heart who didn't know what God was doing in my heart. And that person called me up one day and said, do you still have that van? And at that point in time, I did. I hadn't given it to the lady yet. And he said, well, I've got a vehicle I want to give you. And it was nicer than what the van I had was. It was 10 years newer and considerably less miles. And it had the greatest air conditioner that of any vehicle I've ever owned. And then we gave that vehicle away. And now I've got a vehicle that doesn't have air conditioner, but we'll get there. I just know this. If we would allow God to manifest the love that we have, we would love in truth. It says, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. There's that connection between love and truth. The love that we declare that we have, it is going to manifest in action, and it's not going to be something that we've got to do. It's going to be something that we want to do. There's one more One more verse that I want to share with you, because we've talked about truly the love of God is perfected in us. We need to have a love of the truth, and we need to love in truth. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, this is probably the connection that most people are familiar with. And let's begin reading in verse number 11, Ephesians 4, 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Why does God give some to be apostles, those that are sent? Why does he give some prophets to call people back into relationship with God? Some evangelists to be carriers of the good news of Jesus Christ? Some pastors and teachers? He does it for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Too many people in the church are looking around at everybody else, expecting them to do the work of the ministry. In the meantime, nobody's doing the work of the ministry. And we've got a society that is falling apart, and we're seeing people die without relationship with Jesus, that Jesus wanted them to hear about his goodness, hear about the offer of salvation. We need the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. It is for the edifying of the body of Christ. I saw something. I'm trying to think of what this was, but it was a mother who decided not to abort a baby. And that person ended up, that baby she didn't abort, ended up growing into a teenager, and that's the person that God used to introduce her to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, wow, that is amazing. The body of Christ, we need to realize that there are people that God wants to add to the body of Christ so that we can be a blessing to them. They can be a blessing to us because he's working to edify the body of Christ so that we all grow in our relationship of the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. He wants us to grow into a place of maturity, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, because God doesn't want you and I to be tossed around to and fro, it says here, like a rag doll. He doesn't want us unstable in our spiritual walk. He doesn't want us carried about by every strange doctrine that comes down the pike. He wants us to be stable, and he wants us to accomplish this because we speak the truth and we do it in love. Did you know that you can say something that's true and do it in all the wrong manner? I know, because I've done it. I still remember I was a young Christian, and I said something, and I knew that it was not something that I wanted to say, and it became a very, very bad day. Became a very, very bad day. I believe that we need a revival of truth, and we need a revival of love in America, and they're not two separate revivals, they're the same thing. We have a famine of wanting to hear the word of God in America. People want to hear things that are going to make them feel good. They don't want to necessarily hear the sobering truth of God's word. But we also need to make sure that that is communicated in a manner of love. And in order to do that, we've got to be in relationship with people. It's impossible to love someone and not be in relationship with them. That's called infatuation or fantasy. Whenever you think that you love someone, but they don't know it, you don't know them, they don't know you, but man, you know, that gets all sorts of celebrities to have security guards around them because everybody's in love with them and they don't even know them. We need to speak the truth in love, and we need God to do that work in our hearts so that when it comes out, it's because we love them. That doesn't mean that it's always going to be something that's easy that needs to be said. It's not going to always be something that is going to be, you know, the one and only solution. I don't know if you've ever tried to tell God, this is the only way that it could be done. And he says, watch this. And does it completely and totally differently than you thought that it needed to be done. And so we need to speak the truth in love. And I would say that if you've not established a relationship of love to where that person knows that you love them, then hold that message of truth until God allows that relationship to come to the place where they'll ask you, you know, on the day of Pentecost, what do we need to do to be saved? I mean, the world's easiest altar call came on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was drawing people. And Peter then began to explain what God was doing. And the people said, well, what do we need to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Okay. That's really the reason that the Holy Spirit was poured out, was so that people could call on the name of the Lord and they'd be saved. So let's look back here at Ephesians chapter 4. May grow up in all things into him who is the head. When we speak truth in love, it's going to be for the purpose of spiritual edification. It's not going to be to make us feel better. It's going to be a message that is going to propel other people to be able to grow. And I tell you, that's a really exciting place. When you get to watch someone grow and mature in their walk with the Lord, that's a fantastic place to be. God bless you. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
My soul finds rest in God. My salvation, my rock.